Therefore you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man. Whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For in posing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourselves. Because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censure and denounce. But we know that the judgment of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things. And do you think or imagine, O man, when you judge and condemn those who practice such things, and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape God's judgment, or elude His sentence and adverse verdict? Or are you so blind as to trifle with the and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of His kindness and forbearance and long enduring patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, to change your mind, an inner man, to accept God's will? But by your callous stubbornness and impenitence of heart, you are storing up wrath and indignation for yourselves on the day of wrath and indignation when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For He will render to every man according to his works, justly as his deeds deserve. To those who by patient persistence in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and self-willed, disobedient to the truth, but responsive to the wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. There will be tribulation and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first and then the Greek. But glory and honor and heart peace shall be awarded to everyone who habitually does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. One man is not different from another. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged and condemned by the law. For it is not merely hearing the law that makes one righteous, but God. Before God. But it is that the doers of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified. I repeat, for it is not merely hearing the law or reading it that makes one righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified. I want you to put your hands over your heart right now and recognize that as you do the law of love and you carry it out for yourself first, everything else will fall into place. But if you go back to judging and condemning, it's really pride pushing your buttons making you believe that you are better than they. Identifying that you and I have no rights to judge another or to condemn. Because all it does is identify our own pride, our own justification that we think we're so holy. We are holy, but definitely full of holes. Not holiness. Holiness before God is really doing the work of love. And the first person you're accountable to is self. Love one another as I have loved you, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. And love your neighbor as
yourself.
If you don't love yourself first, how can you love the other guy who's in trouble? The message of the kingdom that irritated the Pharisees and put them at odds with the Lord was that he was loving the sinners. And they couldn't handle it. They crucified him because of it. And the scripture says that the enemy, if he would have even realized when he was crucifying the Lord of glory what was going to happen, he would have never done it. Say, I'm making a new covenant tonight. To have my eyes wide open. And to see. When I justify myself. By judging someone else. I identify the pride and haughtiness in me. Because I feel superior or better. And I'm using an emotion. Which is part of my soul.
Which is part of my soul.
And true love is of the Spirit.
And true love is of the Spirit.
And it has no conditions.
And it has no conditions.
Like Jesus from the cross. I'm choosing right now. To forgive those who crucified me.
Betrayed me.
Were angry and judged me. Criticized me and exposed me. And I cancel their words tonight.
I take them out of my heart.
And I cover them with the blood of the Lamb. I'm not going backwards. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to intercede for those who can't stand me. Because they need prayer. And when I'm praying for them, God will be healing me. That's how he works. The last chapter of Job verifies. God said, pray for your friends who betrayed you, judged you, criticized you. And as he did, he chose to pray for them. And God blessed him double. That promise is still standing. It hasn't changed. So for those who abused me, those who betrayed me, those who were angry with me, and cast me away, Father, tonight, I ask you to heal them and set them free from every judgment that they passed on me. And as they crucified me, now tonight, I'm asking you, don't hold any sin against them. Set them free, Lord. Save them. Heal them. And the glory will go to you. That's my gift of love that my Savior showed me. When he was on that cross, he forgave
all of the Jewish nation. He forgave all the Romans. And they had an open door to be healed, to be delivered, and to be set free. He could have called 1,000 angels to set him free. But he set the captives free instead. And I have the same responsibility. Those who are deceived, and they've been angry with me, and they can't stand me. Lord Jesus, tonight, I again purpose in my heart to set them free. They haven't got a clue what they've done to the Lord of glory inside of me. Because the Lord of glory, by His Holy Ghost, is alive in me. That's why they can't stand me. They're trying very hard to crucify Him again inside of me. That's the picture I need to see. So thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I'll pray that you make them brothers and sisters of mine someday. Praise God, you opened my eyes. You opened my heart. And I can release love to them, even if they don't deserve it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Word from what I shared earlier was from Romans chapter 2. I don't want to go back there. I just want to tell you that in Romans chapter 2 and in Matthew 7, they confirm each other, and I read it from the Amplified, which is a little heavier to digest. But it really is making it super clear that when we judge, we literally are cutting ourselves off. We're stomping our own self, our own hearts, and we can't afford to do that. So we've got to make sure. Now, when I say don't judge, that does not mean discernment. Because if you go and you study the letter from Paul to Timothy, two letters that he wrote, he warns his spiritual son that some people have hurt him. And he's discerned in their, you know, in their actions, what they've done was destructive, not only to him, but to the church. But he says to them, I warn you, so-and-so did me much harm. Now, is he judging them, or is he discerning the spirit behind them? So, I would add to you, Ephesians 6:12 says, your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and mighty negative spirits in the heavenlies that are trying so hard to destroy you and to get you off of focus. And they're also going to push your buttons to judge someone and criticize someone so that they have a legal right to start harassing you and hurting you. But in reality, the biggest enemy, as I was sharing earlier, the biggest enemy is self. And how we justify self. And any level of selfishness that says I'm greater than so-and-so because I've got my act together and they don't, causes you to fall into a trap. And you really can't afford to do that. So that's the bottom line. Don't let the darkness put your light out. Because you are so bright, so full of life. I was listening to a testimony. And the gentleman was speaking about how when we forgive, healing takes place. When we set free, healing is a byproduct. Many people are bound with allergies and all kinds of digestive problems and all kinds of different difficulties in their bodies.
And it's because of a root of bitterness that's inside. And they're so filled with anger and all kinds of bad mental situations that they're, let's say, appeasing because they're justified. Well, if they hadn't done this to me, I wouldn't be this way. How many of you have ever heard that? If they had only left me alone, I'd be perfect by now. But they picked on me. If you have this victim mentality, you're in for a rude awakening. The victim was put on a tree to pay the price for all the victimization that you've been through. If you can't afford to stay in a victim mentality or a thought pattern that says, oh my God, poor me. No, pick yourself back up. Say, okay, Lord, what did I learn out of the hardship that I've just been through? How will I be an effective tool in the body of Christ to help someone else when they might get into a place where they'll be deceived for a season? Will I be able to be compassionate and intercede for them until they get free? Like somebody's prayed for me, because now I'm free. See, that's the bottom line. When you have that freedom, it's contagious. And some will definitely be drawn to you to receive some of that. And you have a full ability to release it as you have received it. Kind of neat, huh? Father, this message was a little different tonight, so I ask that you would just rehearse it in their hearts. Continue to set them free to walk and to be all that they've been called to be, so that the anointing will continue to break open their hearts with compassion for those who are stuck in deception and slavery. Jesus' name. That's it.